go on home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look, you'll see that homesick God told Abraham, take Isaac up the mountain and there make him a sacrifice to me. I know tears rolled down and breath was hard to come by while Abraham was knelt there on. So hand in hand they traveled up the mountain, and he thought about the thing that laid in store. Like shattered glass inside his heart was breaking, for he'd never known a pain like this before. All too soon they reached that spot where they were going. He laid Isaac down on his deathbed. as he drew the knife to strike him. But a God of mercy stopped him, and he said, I just wanted you to know exactly how it feels to watch the son you love walk up a lonely hill, feel the pain inside as your heart breaks in your chest to lose the very thing that you love the best. And now you've walked the walk, and I know you'll understand
the price that must be paid
to correct the sins of man. And you'll know just how it feels
when they walk him up that hill. I just wanted you to exactly how I'll feel when they walk him up that hill. I just wanted you to know.
Thank you, folks, so very much today. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Galatians, chapter 6. Certainly have enjoyed the singing and the goodness of the Lord today. Galatians, chapter number 6. Verse number 9, Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household faith. Would you pray again with me? Father, thank you for the day again. We are grateful for this day. Lord, you have blessed us to see another day of life, this side of death and eternity. And Lord, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I pray now that you'd help us in our preaching. I understand my inability and I understand my insufficiency. But dear Lord, I lean heavily upon you today. I pray you'd help us to give us clarity of thought, that we might be able to have clarity of speech. I pray that we can stay focused today upon the message, what we need to say. Help me to say all that needs to be said, nothing more, nothing less. Let us be led of the Holy Spirit, and our desire today would bring encouragement to someone that really needs an encouraging touch of God upon their life. And we'll be so grateful if you'll do that for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Two times in the Word of God, we find Paul admonishing churches to not be weary in well-doing. Today I read Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and he said, and let us not be weary. So I think there's a possibility for anybody that would serve the Lord to grow weary and get weary in your service for the Lord. He also says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And there's a real tendency among service of God to get weary. You know, the best. In fact, I know the Galatian church had some problems, But they were people that loved the Lord. They were saved. They had some misunderstandings about salvation. They had some misunderstandings about why God gave the law. They were trying to mix law with grace and so on. But yet, they were basically saved people that had put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you think about the church at Thessalonica, one of the better churches that Paul wrote to. In fact, I have known of churches, in fact, Harriman, other areas, being known as the Bible Baptist Church. In fact, there are some of the more of the conservative Methodist churches, and they go by the Bible Methodist Church. Well, if any church could have been really called the Bible Church, it would have been the church at Thessalonica. For in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, Paul said, "For from you sounded out the word of God." And what a great blessing that is to be able to sound out the word of God. In fact, their faith was known throughout the world of that day. The faith that folk in Thessalonica had exercised in Christ, and they didn't keep it confined within the four walls of where they met at, but they scattered it and sounded it abroad where others might know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, not only did they sound out the word of God, but in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, when you receive the word of God, you received it as it truly is, not the word of men, but as it truly is, the word of God. So if any church in the Bible could have really been called the Bible church, it would have been the church at Thessalonica. But may I say, though they were as good as they were, there was a tendency to get weary in their well-doing. I want you to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 3. I read this verse for a reason. In verse 3, chapter 1, it said, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the proper service. That's the way service is to be rendered. Everything we do that will bring honor and glory unto Christ is to be carried out and carried forth in this manner. It is to be a work of faith. It is to be a labor of love. And it's to be patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the thought today is this matter of well-doing. Well-doing. It has been said, I entirely agree, that it is the duty, it is the dignity, and it is the destiny of every believer to show forth a work and a duty and fulfill a responsibility unto the Lord. It's not just for a chosen committee. It's not just for some select people. But may I say that every believer is to have some good works about their life, and they are to be doing well in the day that we're living in. Could I ask you the question and allow you to do the answering? How well are you doing today? How well are we doing? Well doing. It's the duty, a responsibility to serve the Lord, and in serving the Lord, to serve one another in this life in which we live. It's our duty. It's our dignity. Now, you know what I expect out of the lost, unchristian, unbelieving world? You know what I expect out of them? Just exactly what they're doing. For they're blinded. They're lost. They don't understand. They're living a spiritual death apart from Christ and apart from the Word of God. And that's what I expect out of them. But you know what I expect out of Christians? You know what I expect out of church people? The very same thing that our Lord expects out of them. And that is service rendered unto the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus and for the honor of our God. Not only is it the dignity of the believer, but it's the destiny of the believer. Now, may I say to you that the Apostle Paul made it so clear that no one should ever miss the truth that we are saved by the grace of God. And as Dr. Oliver Green used to say, it's grace plus nothing minus nothing. Amen. And he was right. It's we're saved by the grace of God alone. Hallelujah. And Paul makes that so clear in Ephesians 2:89. For it is by grace through faith are you saved. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 said, for we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is the destiny and the purpose of God that every believer serve the Lord and fulfill a duty unto him in living a life of well-doing. Does that make sense to you? It makes a whole lot of sense to me. In fact, the example that I'm not to follow is, and nothing wrong with having, I can't think of the word I'm wanting to use, but folk that you look to, folk that you can pattern your life somewhat after. I've seen preachers that I thought I would like to be like that preacher. I had reason for wanting to be like them, for they were clear in their presentation. They were to the point, and they excelled. I would love to be like them. I've never attained to that. But I'll tell you, our great exemplar today is not some human being, but our great exemplar today is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the Word of God declares that he went about doing good. Wherever he went, he was noted for helping people, ministering to people, delivering people, saving people, and helping others was what our Savior was all doing. And even when he died on the cross, he died not for his own sin, for he had none, but praise God, he took the sins of the whole world. The thing of the gospel and the thing about Christianity, it's not about you and I and others, or not about you and I, but it's about Christ and it's about others. That's real Christianity. So we have a responsibility to do well. Now, these folk were already doing good. I read to you about their labor of love, their work of faith. I mean, they were involved in it. You know, I get to thinking sometimes, and I look at our bulletin, and I think what all is involved in ministry here. And I'm grateful for what the church does and what you people do in your giving and in your work and in your ministry. So many, many things. And I'm grateful for all of them. It's not they were not doing well. He didn't say you don't do well. He said, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Keep doing it and don't get weary in your doing. Now, may I say that well-doing is very important. It's important that you do well. Somebody said, well, nobody ever missed me. Yeah, they will. It may be a few Sundays, but you'll be missed one day. Something will cross the mind and you'll be missed. And somebody says, well, I don't do much. I don't make enough money to give a whole lot. It ain't about how much you give. It's how you give and how you pray God's blessing upon what you give. Amen. And allow the Lord to multiply. You're important. And maintain. Would you please listen? I'm not your enemy today. I didn't get in this pulpit to browbeat you. I came here this morning with the Word of God to try to help you to understand that it's important that you stay with the stuff, that you serve God, and that you're faithful, and that you persevere It's so important to persevere. You see, so much depends upon it. God's glory is greatly promoted by perseverance. Amen. Now listen, you've known and I've known of people throughout your days, they drank while preaching while. Well, that really weighs heavy, don't it? I mean, are you with me? If you are, shake your head that way, amen. I want you to say amen, you'll scare somebody probably. Might even scare yourself if you said amen. Amen. Yeah. But, you know what? The ones that really bring glory unto the Lord, the glory of God is greatly promoted as those that, man, I mean, they're there. You can count on them. They're there. I'm having problems with this Facebook thing because I want to say everything I want to say, and sometimes I'm a little bit leery with it. But boss man told me yesterday, he said, if that boy comes in late today, you send him back to the house. I've warned him. And if he comes in late today, you send him back to the house. Probably one of the better workers we got. But I'm telling you, this thing of being persistent and persevering and being counted on, staying with the stuff. You know, did I really feel like jumping up and down this morning and getting out of the bed and putting forth a good effort to go to church? To be honest, I didn't. And I'm not here to complain. I'm just here to tell you the truth. I felt about as rough this morning as I felt in a long time. But God has called me to be your pastor and your preacher, and it's Sunday morning, and you're here, and by the help and grace of God, we're going to preach because it's important that we remain faithful and persevere. It greatly promotes the honor of God. It really does. I'm glad there's some folk that's rock solid in life, aren't you? I'm glad there's some folk that persevere. The prosperity of the church is powerfully enhanced. I say the prosperity of the church is powerfully enhanced by folk that'll just be there to do, to serve, be faithful. You say, preacher, I really do. I'm pretty convinced that man needs to really just to the Lord. I'm not lost for words. I'm searching. I'm thinking. The church is important. The work of God goes through the church, and it's so important. Then by perseverance, our reward will be proportionately increased. I mean, amen. You get something out of this. Yeah, you get something out of this. Now you might, I heard about a fellow one time pulled a neighbor out of the ditch. And the neighbor really didn't mean it this way, but it sounded wrong. But he said, I hope I can catch you in this predicament one day. What he was saying was, I'd like to help you, not that I'd really like to see you stuck in the mud. Amen. And a lot of times that's what it amounts to. Well, I wish I could catch you in this predicament sometime. But, you know, in reality, the Lord keeps record. There will be a judgment day. Our reward will be proportionately increased if we'll just stay steady with the Lord. Now let me give you something real quick. You probably already know this. There's causes for us to get weary. There's reason that we get weary. One thing, you know, there's the friction of life in a world of ungodly tendencies. This world's not for you. This world don't care nothing about your church. This world don't care nothing about your Christianity. This world don't care nothing about your Jesus. And there's that tendency That friction, amen. And oh, friend, that causes heat. That causes wear. That friction causes wear on you, friend. A lot of times you just get weary with fighting the battle. Amen. The frictions of life. Amen. Then there's the ingratitude and unworthiness of those we befriend. Boy, a smile and a thank you goes a long way, don't it? Don't know what I could have done. I don't really know what I could have done if you hadn't helped me. But sometimes people, you give them so much and they go off and they badmouth you. Why, man, they got money running out their ears. They could have done better. I mean, that's what you deal with in this world. Oh, yeah, it is. That ingratitude. Amen. The unworthiness of folks. You know. Well, we could park here, but we'll move on. Amen. There's reason you get weary. You get cooled by the coldness of others. You know, you want to do, and you feel like doing, and you seek a little help in doing it, and you get help, but you get criticism and pessimism and all the reason in the world that you shouldn't. Still with me, ain't you? Everybody all right? Amen. But you want to do. But there's those others that's cool and cold about what they're doing. Amen. That's right. It'll cause you to get weary. Amen. Sometimes your patience, I want you to listen to this. Sometimes your patience is exhausted by so many needing help. There's need everywhere you look. And you do, and you do, and then there's still more need. Our brother mentioned the missionary that was with us on Wednesday night, and I was greatly impressed with this missionary. When he spoke and got done, in my heart and mind, I thought, I would like to have a part in that ministry. Because preaching the gospel, providing homes for orphans and homeless children, and training preachers to preach and pastor. I mean, that's all three of them. But he told about how many children, what percentage of the children born and in that area was either orphaned, abandoned, homeless, large percentage. What do you do? Can't help them all. If you're not careful, you think, brother, I'm sure as you go, and that's a part of your ministry, you'll be living on that property and so on, and I'm sure you think, you know, you get overwhelmed. My wife does the most of the washing of our vinyl siding, and she washes some of it 3 and 4 times a year, and some of it's high, and she gets to it once or so, but she says to me different times, it's just overwhelming. It's, you know, you've got so much and so little time to do it, and you just, it's rub and rub and scrub and scrub and rub and rub and scrub and scrub. And when you get done, you look around and the spiders has done been visiting your place again. And there's black. I mean, you know, it's overwhelming. And if you're not careful, and I find this, I'm telling you, if you're not careful in trying to do what you believe is your duty and what you ought to do for the Lord, if you're not careful, you'll find it's overwhelming. But what do? We don't get weary in well-doing. We keep going. We keep going. You'll finally find that if you'll keep going and you stay at it long enough, you'll finally one day get done. Is that not right? Our niece over here, Reba's niece, they've been remodeling the home she was raised in so her husband can move into the house. And I'm sure by now it's, are we going to ever get done? Are we going to ever? But you know what? You keep swinging that paintbrush, and you keep playing that tile, and you keep whatever has to be done. One of these days, you know, 3 years ago, we moved into this building. What was it? 6, 7 years ago, they started working on this building. And man, I remember stepping out over on that porch one Sunday, and it was a day about like today, only colder and wintry. And man, those trusses was laying up on that roof, and they looked like a snake. And I thought, my word, will we ever have church over there amongst all of that? But we're here today. It gets done. The work gets done. You've got to stay with it, neighbor. You can't let the work overwhelm you. You've got to stay and persevere in the work. Make sense to you? Persevere. Stay with it. Hallelujah. That's right. You see, there's so much to do, sometimes it seems hopeless to begin. Similar illustration, I'm going to move along quickly, don't mount a whole lot. Back last year, the storm come. Me and my wife discussing when it come. We didn't have church that Sunday morning. Tree blowed across the house right over here behind Johnny and Mona's. And that was that day. That was that weekend. Well, it blowed trees down. In fact, blowed out one down in our road. And we moved it out of the way on Sunday morning. And down in the field below the barn, there was a clump of maples. They must have been at least 5 good-sized trunks, trees, maple trees, with all those limbs sitting on a rock pile, not with a lot of root, and it blowed every one of them down in the field. Well, guess what? Wednesday, I got started on it. And man, the briars and hedge bushes and rough and I thought, my goodness, you know, how will we? But I took that little chainsaw and I went to work. Of course, had a little help Wednesday, had a little help Friday, and a little help yesterday, and lo and behold, I'm about done. You just stay with me. I mean, man, you just got one stick at a time. One stick at a time. Are you still with me? One stick at a time, man. You can't be overwhelmed by what has to be done. One stick at a time. If you don't, you're going to get weary in well-doing. Amen. Let us not grow weary. Be weary in well-doing. That's right. You know, physical fatigue has a tendency to generate moral weariness. Isn't it amazing? I mean, man, you get up in the morning, you've slept about 8 hours, and you take that blood pressure pill and top it off with some biscuits and bacon, and then, man, you're ready to tackle the world for about 2 hours, and then the next thing you know, and you get a little slower. And about 6 o'clock, you think, well, I wish it'd hurry up and get dark. I'd like to go to bed. Amen. I mean, you know, it does, don't it? I mean, you get tired, you get weary, you get to pull down, and a lot of times just tired and need to rest. But let's not grow weary in well doing. Let's stay with the work of God. Amen. You ever thought about monotony? Monotony. I don't think that's in the Bible, but I know something about it. And some of you women know something about it. Same old white church every Monday morning. Every time you raise that washing machine lid or open that door, it's them same old clothes. Amen. And we're spoiled in America, and I know it. But these times, especially along this time of the year, that I'm tired of everything they are to eat. Tired of taters, tired of beef, tired of maters, tired of ham, tired of beef, tired of chicken. You know? Monotony. Some of you Sunday school teachers. You may be different than me, but you know what? There you are. Same three students. Same two sleeping. Amen. 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 But you know what? It's Sunday morning again. Here we go. Amen. Go to church, same three songs, same old preacher, and you can tell what he's going to say most of the time before he ever says it. And if you're not careful, this church thing becomes monotony to you. Brother, could I say thank you for coming by today? I had never heard you sing and your wife before. Praise God. That sort of helps us. And not that I'm tired of all of you, but it just sort of helps break the monotony of things, don't it you? Could I say something to you today? Brother David Epps will roll by here next Sunday night, and he'll help break some of this monotony. Amen. Yeah, I'm telling you, but it's just the way it is. You get it. But do you know what? When we're fulfilling that just routine, 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 there's a God up in heaven saying, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. So don't get weary in our well-doing. Amen. Well, I've helped myself a little bit today. I might be able to make it back tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, our work is not resultless. In Luke 14:14, Jesus said, when you make a feast, don't invite your friends because they can invite you back to their place to eat with them. That's paraphrasing, but that's the lesson. But he said, when you make a feast, he says, you invite those that are blind and lame and those lower class. Those are the ones you'd invite when you make a feast. And they can't recompense you again. But he says, you will be recompensed. That's the word. In the resurrection of the just. One of these days, brother, payday will come. It may take a long time in coming, but it will come one day if we'll stay with God and stay with the work and not get weary and faint along the way. Just stay with the Lord. Very important. Very important. Very, very, in due season you'll reap. Paul said, in due season you'll reap. There's a reaping season. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. As he waits for the early rain and the latter rain. You don't plant today and pick tomorrow. Few things produced pretty fast. A few weeks ago, I got out in a little old patch and scattered a few mustard seeds. And the other day, I picked me a mess of mustard grain. Didn't take all that long, but corn and a lot of other things takes a long time. Amen. Some of them tomatoes are 80 days from the time you set them out. Have patience for it. Do you know, and I'm closing with these remarks, there's so much blessing. Did you know what? You stay with God. You live for God a lifetime. Are you with me? You live for God a lifetime. One of these days, you're going to come to the end of the life journey, and there's going to be a satisfaction in your soul that cannot be explained. I've lived for Jesus. I have lived my life for Jesus. Boy, there's a satisfaction in that that don't quit. Amen. I've lived for the Lord. I've stayed with Christ. I've stayed with the stuff. I wonder today, have you just been so busy and there's so much, have you just sort of got weary and well done? You try and there's so much opposition and there's so much failure. Guy I worked with said, I've been following some of the farmers, and said, a farmer down in Georgia, I believe it was, he said, due to this storm system, he said, my cotton crop was the best it had ever been. Said, them big old bowls, and I don't know how big a bowl is, so I'm not exaggerating. I just don't know how big a bowl of cotton is. But he said those bowls of cotton were larger this year. And says, you go out, and it's all gone. And you know what? There's a lot of things you do, it just seems like it gets blown away. By the time you get things started real good, something happens. But you know what? There's no storm can damage what you do for Christ. There's no wind can blow away what you do for the Lord. Let's not get weary. Let's be faithful. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord. It's always too soon to quit. You can't just try to do it all at once. It's a little at a time in the service of God. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. I've preached. I've gave you the truth. It is a truth. You know, the transitions of life, things that upset your plans, things that just seem to be devastating to your crop. Keep on keeping on. What about it today? Somebody in the building say, preacher, I'm one of those that I know I'm saved, and preacher, I've tried to work for the Lord. I just got real weary with it. I just couldn't get nowhere. I just got weary, and I just give up, preacher. I try to get folks to come to church, nobody ever show up. I try to honor God with my tithes and offerings, and it seemed like that, I don't know, preacher, I just couldn't get, just seemed like it didn't turn out right. But I do know there is a resurrection of the just. And I do know there's payday someday. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. I need to get out of this state. It's a state. You see, the work of God was still going on. They were still busy. There was still a labor of love. There was still a work of faith. But there was a tendency to get weary. What about it? Preacher, I just got weary in the work of God. Please pray for me. Need to take up my cross. Please pray for me. Anybody? Thank you for the help you give us. Thank you for being so good to us. Please bless us, Lord. Please help us, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. Bless your church and bless your people. There's work to be done. Things to be accomplished. Help us, Lord, to do our best. To muster the energy from the Holy Spirit to fight on. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. We're standing singing. Would you come? God speaking. Would you come? Father, come to you today. We've tried. We've tried hard, Lord. I want to be faithful to God. I don't want to just do to be doing. I want to be fervent in my spirit. But please give us some rest. Help me to take care to get some rest. Help me, Lord, to bear the burden that I must bear. Encourage the people and things of God of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody's watching you. Your life is important. Your neighbors have not been to church in years, but they know Wednesday night. They sure do. I've had people to tell me that you got to go to church tonight, don't you? They ain't been to church in years. They know it's prayer meeting. Do you not know they know today's Sunday and they know whether you went to church or not? They really know. My poor wife's dad got a little touch of Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever you call it. Went over there one Saturday. "So what have you been doing today, Daddy?" He said, "I ain't been doing nothing." She said, "Why?" "Well, it's Sunday." She said, "Daddy, today ain't Sunday. Today's Saturday." He said, "Well, I knowed I never did see the church crowd go by. I knowed I never did see the church crowd." Hey, they know what we're doing. Somebody's counting on you. What are you going to do one of these Sunday nights when you're out in left field and that friend that you've been trying to get to church shows up and asks where you at? Somebody's counting on you. You want to come and say, "Lord, I've drugged my feet. I've laid around. I've been discouraged. I've been weary. I got the don't cares. And I need help." Final verse. Would you come? Would you come? Lord, help us. Would you come? Lord, I pray for Sister Penny today. Pray you bless her heart with real joy and real peace, real cheer, Lord. Help her. Burden's heavy. It's hard. It's not easy. Lord, grace and give her strength. Give her courage this morning, dear Lord. I pray that you bless her life. The things she do, Lord, let her be blessed in it. Help her. Meet her needs today, I pray. Oh, God, help her. Many others today. Please help them, Lord. Please bless them. Oh, God, help us to be well. Bless us this afternoon. Our study, the thought. Help us to pick it up, Lord. Help us to pick it up. Amen.